Football Friday.
For the thousands in attendance and the millions watching around the world, ladies and gentlemen, let's get ready to rumble!
Some of y'all that really got it, that really want it, and really deserve it, and you got to play beside a fool that don't want it, don't deserve it, that don't even love it, I promise you it's my job to get rid of it.
Northern Colorado has a proud history, but it's decades ago. You know, to have an opportunity to maybe change the way a community sees a university, change the way a community sees a football program.
You know, we had a lot of young guys play last year, and, you know, we're not young anymore. I mean, I'm not young. My job is to score points this year, and I'm just excited to do that.
Being used to contending for the postseason, you don't take it for granted. That mindset needs to be present here.
You got to understand we're going to win right now, not later. Right now.
It's about understanding. I'm going to make the play or I'm going to watch the play be made. It's simple. It's if I can tell my safety, you cover this because I'm going this time. It's a man on the man every time we play the game. It'll never change. It's about winning one-on-one battles. Fight through fight. It's our fight to fight.
Now, here's Brady Hall.
Just getting ready to rock and roll, man. We got some primetime sound bites there. We're going to win, you know. And then you get the calculated approach from Ed Lamb that's, hey, we're trying to get a community to support a team. And got our boy Clay Millen talking there a little bit, quarterback for Colorado State. It's coming. Primetime said he was coming. Well, the season is coming. The preseason starts tonight for the Denver Broncos as they go up against Arizona. So we'll get into that. Yeah. Colt McCoy tonight. I saw pictures of the field. Like in between the hashes. Pretty rough, dude. Kind of looks like my yard. Like at this point. Certain corners of my backyard is what the center portion of the field looks like. So I'm guessing the Broncos are going to run a lot of, you know, outside plays. I don't know. It just looks dark. It just looks not been watered.
Looks used. Yeah, there's a noticeable strip
browning
in the center of the field. But
I mean, for your naked eye, just looking at it on Twitter, it doesn't look like it's that bad. But you know, Peyton's gonna go. They're gonna go walk the field and figure out what kind of cleats they need. You know, we just got to be careful. I would be very careful with Javonte Williams. The rest, you know, it's a field. You'll be fine, or you won't be. You get hurt on good fields, too. But I don't know if I'm risking it with Javonte for that reason, plus the fact that McGlinchey's out, too. You know, when you don't have your best offensive line out there, you gotta be a little bit more careful. But very excited to see what the Broncos do, what Russell Wilson does tonight for 15 to 18 snaps for the starters. What are some of the things you're watching for tonight? A lot of position battles going on between Denver or for Denver tonight. It's not about Arizona. It's not even about winning the game.
No, and teams, you won't scheme for a preseason opponent. It's really just a lot of, hey, we're going to run these 20 or 30 so types of plays because we just want to get stuff on film. We just want to see the linemen block a couple of schemes. What I'm focusing on is the execution of the offense in the play calling. How is that communication working?
Mm-hmm.
Does Russell have enough time to get the play in the huddle, call it, and then make adjustments when he needs to? Because we saw that last year. They break the huddle with 5 seconds, and you don't have any time to adjust.
Well, a little bit of history is going to be made tonight, too, Angel.
Is he wearing a wristband?
No. It's the very first preseason game Russell Wilson has played as a Denver Bronco. Because he didn't play last
year. Let's get excited
year.
For that.
You were getting into it. You were like, what does he have here? Well, Hackett was like, no. We got a new offense. I'm a new coach, and I got a new quarterback. We'll be fine. We'll wait till week one. Not the case with Sean Payton. No bucket hats, no sunglasses, no talking to the media, none of that stuff. We are going to be a tightly ran ship here. It's going to be none of that nonsense that we had last year. And I guess it's okay. but it's just something for us to talk about. Did Sean have to come out and tell us that that was not allowed? Or could he have just told his own team, hey, guys, here's the deal. I want you to support your teammates. I want you in uniform. I don't want you in bucket hats. I don't want you in sunglasses. I want you supporting your teammates and acting like you give a damn.
Yeah, I mean, that's something you say in the team meeting, and it doesn't need to be said to the media, but it's something if you need the media's help to reinforce
Maybe. Because it'll be a story if somebody's in sunglasses and somebody's in a bucket hat.
Sorry, coach. The sun's in my eye.
Yeah, come on. Well, they're in a...
The sun can still shine. They can open the stadium.
It's a good thing, too, because I bet it's toasty there.
Oh, yeah.
But the grass is an issue. It'll probably be just fine. You know, guys are getting hurt on regular grass. So, excited for this one, though. It's a late game, 8 o'clock, but it's Friday night. You don't have anything to do tomorrow, do you, Angel? Nothing to get up early for.
No.
So well,
my team plays tonight, too. So.
Oh, what time do they play?
I want to say 5 o'clock.
No, so you'll be done with that, and then you can get into the Broncos.
Mm-hmm.
And you have a night of football. Night of preseason football.
Woo-hoo.
Did you watch much last night?
I was in and out. I wanted to see C.J. Stroud a little bit, see how he does. Bailey Zappi looked yesterday. Didn't watch much of the Vikings-Seahawks game just because I was already getting tired.
Yeah,
I was hopping on Madden late. So.
Oh, were you?
Yeah.
Watching preseason got you in the mode, huh?
A little bit, you know. You start imagining things. Like, I could run that play in Madden. Let me try that out.
Go just live out
well,
my
I'm finishing
dream.
Up my players franchise mode before the new Madden comes out.
Well, I got to try to win another Super Bowl in the MUT.
I haven't won one.
I think I've won one.
I think it's my 7th year on the Falcons now.
Oh, man. You got
to. We made the playoffs a
pressure's
couple of times.
On you to get it
we
done
haven't,
here.
We haven't got to the Super Bowl just yet.
Well, I do the mutt thing. You know, where you go online, you play other people, but you just build your own team. You just buy cards of players that are really good, and you build it that way, and you earn points by winning and stuff like that. Or you earn gold. And that's tough. It's difficult. It's hard to build your team, and I felt like I was just starting to get there, too. And I got to get a new game. Got to do it. Mental thing. I can't play the old game once the new game's out. It just drives me nuts.
Mm-mm.
Except for here at the station. We have the one from, like, 1947 out there that we play.
Speaking of old and new games, Jay Norvell had some comments on the Rocky Mountain Showdown asterisk name to be later revealed.
Yeah, he says he wants to play that as, he wants to do it all the time. He understands the importance to it.
Yeah, he also had said some stuff about Prime. Obviously, that was going to come up with any interview with Jay, but, his thoughts, he said they don't really cross paths in terms of recruiting or anything, but he said it's good for the state. Good for the rivalry to come back, and he wants to play it as much as possible.
I thought that was interesting. I wrote that quote down too, Angel. He hasn't ran into Dion they haven't crossed paths when it comes to in-state recruiting, so they're not calling on the same guys in the state.
Because Ed Lamb's already got them all.
Well, Ed Lamb and Jay Norvell. Primetime's building through the portal, and they better win this year because that portal will dry up for him next year if they look at it and go, "You guys are further behind than I thought." Primetime, you were great with Jackson State. I don't know if you're ready here. I'm not coming over to this.
Well, now it's kids that may have been at a Pac-12 level. They're not transferring to Pac-12 schools. They're Big 12 level, and they're going to Big 12 schools.
That's true. I mean, yeah, that alone is going to still help him with his transfer portal, is moving to the Big 12.
Mm-hmm.
But, I just saw the other day that Washington and Washington State will still keep their – they're going to keep their game.
The Apple Cup,
and then another one. There was
Civil War
between Oregon and Oregon State.
Yep.
So they've already come out and said, "Hey, we're keeping that. We're keeping our tradition." So those of you worrying if CSU leaves the Mountain West, could CSU still keep their rivalry game with Wyoming?
Yeah, it's possible.
Yeah, I think so.
You have to just work out scheduling deals, but it's possible.
Again, the question's ridiculous because CSU is not going to the Big 12 or Big 10, not right now. And the Pac-4 would be silly to go to. I was going to ask that question today. Like, if the Pac-4 called today and said, here's what the offer is, you're going to get way more money than what you're getting with the Mountain West, would you go? I mean, it's like $20 million, right?
Who else is going?
Let's just say...
I can say on one hand, I like the Mountain West. I like our friends here. We feel good about our conference. But, if enough Mountain West teams are jumping ship with you, then yeah, let's go. But... it seems like they want to take the united stance.
Yeah, I think it's going to be, I think the Mountain West is going to give it a go.
They have the leverage. They really do.
I really hope Oregon State and Washington State goes to this conference, to the Mountain West.
I do too. I don't think the American is really a viable option for them. It's almost two steps lower than the Mountain West in terms of just the other teams in that conference. I think the Mountain West has the next leg up in terms of teams, branding, obviously with Boise State, San Diego State.
Mm-hmm.
And if you can regain control of this region west of the mountains, you could keep yourself in that power conversation.
And look what San Diego State did in basketball last year. I mean, you about won it. You just about went as far as anybody could possibly go.
And I mean, who's to say if you add Oregon State, Washington State, that there's not another lower tiered school out there that wants to join up?
Yeah. So again, very interested to see what happens with the Mountain West. According to ESPN, Mountain West mulls next move as the ACC decides on Cal and Stanford. Stanford and Cal awaiting a decision from the ACC about possible membership, waiting by the phone, perhaps. The Mountain West Conference remains on standby, ready to respond however those dominoes fall. What does that mean?
I explained this to Tanner. I think the ACC just has a leg up over the Mountain West in terms of they'll get first pick on adding teams, and the Mountain West will kind of just be you just have to wait and see. If ACC only gets Stanford and Cal, then you immediately go to Oregon State, Washington State. Hey, guys, come on. You don't want to be left alone by yourself in the Pac-2.
Why are Cal and Stanford the primary targets right now for the ACC and not Oregon State and Washington State?
The market. Stanford can self-sustain itself, and Cal is California market.
Cal's a bigger following than either Oregon State or Washington State at this point?
Yeah.
Probably so. I mean, Oregon State's getting better.
It sucks because both Oregon State and Washington State, they're on the rise,
yeah.
I think, as programs.
Yeah, they are. They really are. So maybe this actually works out better, though. They're on the rise, and the ACC's not really recognizing that. Then they come to the Mountain West, and who knows? Now, I read a report. I don't know if it's true, and I know we got a break soon, that ESPN reportedly did offer the Pac-12 $30 million, but the Pac-12 perhaps wanted more than that. Now, that's a Twitter guy that has, like, I don't know, 60,000 followers. I'm trying to find his name right now.
Yeah, I think I got it here from Front Office Sports. Andrew Cohen.
Yep.
Pac-12 reportedly rejected ESPN's $30 million per school annual offer. This was in the fall of 2022.
Wow.
Pac-12 rejected ESPN's offer as it now falls to four teams amid massive realignment driven by media revenue.
Wow. They rejected $30 million a year per team.
Not only more than Apple's reported $25 million per school, but it would also have given the network greater visibility on ESPN's platforms compared to streaming subscriber base of Apple TV.
Is that true, you think? That seems too...
That's too much information to not be true.
Yeah, but still, like, how the hell do you turn that down? Oh, no, we're going to play hardball with them. You were in desperate times, and $30 million was fair. Especially
Pac-12
for the situation you were in.
And chancellors reportedly told Commissioner Kliakoff to reject the offer.
Who did?
The Pac-12 presidents and chancellors.
Well, that was dumb.
This deal would have covered the conference's media rights, including the Pac-12 network.
That is just wild.
If that's true, Kliakoff is the worst commissioner in all of sports.
Bad advice from his presidents, too. He's way worse.
The only thing
is that worse
the only reasoning I think is the potential of what streaming would have been. But even last year, we didn't know where streaming was going to go. We still don't know where it's going to go.
Still don't know. Because again, there's so many options now. And people are wising up a little bit.
This offer came after USC and UCLA revealed their intentions to leave the Big 12.
After? It came out after? Wow.
So the Pac-12 lost their two biggest draws.
And still got a healthy offer.
And ESPN offered them a bigger offer than Apple TV.
Oh, my goodness. And you turned that down? If that is true, then wow. 20 minutes after 1 o'clock, Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the University of Northern Colorado Bears football team, is going to join us next. We'll take a short break first, though. It's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Start your day with Good Morning NoCo with Brian Gary and Tanner Schwint on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, this is Matt Gaeter, color commentator for UNC Bears football and former UNC offensive lineman. You're listening to The Whole Show on 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Welcome back into our preseason football Friday here, presented by Crazy Carl's Pizza. Joining me now on our First Advantage Hotline, the quarterback for the University of Northern Colorado football, Jacob Sermon, on the show, I believe for the first time ever, history is being made here. Jacob, my friend, thank you so much for giving us some time today. I know it's a busy schedule for you as you guys are prepping for that big game coming up on August 31st.
Yes, sir. Thank you so much for having me on the show. I'm excited to be here.
Yeah, man. And I know we're going to be working together throughout the course of the season with a weekly hit. Well, we'll catch up with you to get updates on the game that was the upcoming weekend, thanks to our friends over at Shelter Insurance with Paul Dovenbarger. So it'll be fun to get to know you, my man.
I appreciate it. I can't wait to get to know you more as well.
All right, so let's get into the season and get into practice so far. So first off, how's everybody looking out there? How you feeling? We've seen some great coverage from Blake Olson on you guys, and just excited to learn more about this team.
Yeah, I mean, everyone on the team's looking great. The coaching staff is doing an unbelievable job getting us prepared, giving us the best looks we can. You know, these dog days of fall camp can sometimes be a drag on some of the younger players as they – get, you know, transitioned into college football, but I think they're doing a great job keeping our bodies and preparing us the best they can.
Yeah, that's kind of what you want at this point, right? You're installing, you're going through so many different things just to make sure you're ready to go. But you said it best, you know, the dog days kind of. Do you get to that point where you're like counting down the days? I mean, it's August 11th, we're very close, but are you kind of at that point, Jacob, where you're looking at it and go, man, I'm just ready to go out and compete for in the real deal?
You know, there's definitely days I feel that way, but, you know, I find myself very blessed to be in this position. And the game of football is truly what I love. So being able to go out there each and every day and practice and give defense good looks, give our offense a chance to learn and improve is where I find, you know, a lot of joy in myself.
Talking to Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the UNC Bears. Jacob, I think you and I think our first interaction with each other was via Twitter. And I think right after Ed Lamb was hired, I think I tweeted something out about, you know, the big question is whether or not Jacob Sermon's coming back. And I think you retweeted me and you're like, I'm coming back. It didn't take you long. What was it? Was it you just quickly bought into what Ed Lamb was all about? Or were you thinking you were going to be a Bear regardless of what that head coaching position looked like?
You know, obviously, I've had a great experience here so far, and you know, a lot of other opinions and perspectives in the world. But where I'm at right now, I've been happy. I love the team, and I think, you know, our day, I have to give a quality job doing this head coaching search. And he had a program where he had a couple of the players on the team involved in kind of a meeting structure that we gave him some feedback on what we might look for, what, you know, coaching points or what specific things that we thought might have been lacking the previous season. And so for him to kind of take those thoughts into consideration and obviously come out with a great hire like Coach Lamb gave me a lot of confidence. And then, you know, this is where I wanted to finish my career out. And I think Coach Lamb, coming from the program she's been with, the success he's had, I just knew that was going to be a great opportunity for the team and for myself.
Jacob, and again, you can feel free to no comment on this one, but what were some of those things, without really, you know, rehashing the past, but some of those things that you guys as players said, this is what we would be looking for in our next coach? Can you give us some insight to some of those key bullet points that you guys talked about?
Yeah, I know. I think some of the major takeaways that came from those discussions just came from an internal standpoint of, okay, first off, come into an agreement as players that are saying, listen, what are our strengths? What are our weaknesses? What do we want this program, not only for next year, but the years to come? What type of culture do we want to build here? And I think a big discussion point was we believed that we had the talent in the room and in the building to win, and we hoped to find a coach that believed in us. You know, there's a lot of talent in the transfer portal, and I think we've got some great guys that have added depth and talent and some playmaking ability across the board on offense and defense to this team, which I'm incredibly thankful for. But one of the first things that Lamb came in and said, he's going to develop the guys here. He believes we have the talent to win
already. And so some of those thoughts of, hey, listen, we got the guys here. Can we bring a guy in that's willing to invest and build a culture of winning, build a team that's all bought in? And I think they did a great job in that selection point.
We're talking to Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the UNC Bears. First game for the Bears coming up on Thursday night football action, Jacob, on August 31st at Abilene Christian. What do you think about opening up the season on a Thursday night?
Man, I've played my fair share of games on different nights with, you know, Maction with Tuesdays and Wednesday night games. We've had Apple Cups on Friday night games. So, you know, I think football is football, and I cannot wait to get on that field and play some ball.
Well, I think we got, you know, sample sizes of seeing what you can do last year with the Bears, but I know a lot of people, there's a lot, they're saying, hey, man, we wanted to see more Jacob Sermon last year, and we wanted to see more opportunities in front. Well, now here it is. This is a great opportunity for you. And your coach, I mean, he speaks so highly of you. He told one of our morning show hosts, Tanner, he said, hey, I think that this guy's so good. If he's not at that next level one way or the other, then I would almost consider it a failure on my part. What do you think about Coach Lamb saying something like that?
You know, I have the utmost respect for Coach Lamb. I think, and I appreciate them giving me a chance right away when I came in here. And obviously we have a great quarterback that pushed me every day. And, you know, between Coach Peterson and Coach Lamb, their mentorship, the offensive strategy that we've implemented, I'm just excited. You know, I don't feel any pressure anymore at this stage of my career. That pressure has been replaced with excitement, thrill, preparation, a lot of different things that you can kind of cultivate into what will hopefully be success in the field. But I think we have all the pieces of the puzzle in place, and I'm happy to be a part of that puzzle.
Jacob, tell us a little bit about your coach. We've, of course, interviewed him several times since he's been hired. He was hired as the Bears head coach, but from the player's perspective. Now, Coach, I love this. He says he works out with you guys, and he's mad and upset if he misses days and all that stuff. Can you talk to us about that? How much is he really working out with you guys?
He's there every day. And one of his big things is if you're going to preach something, you got to practice it. And I think nothing stands out more than his everyday commitment to being there with the team, work out with the team, max, bench, squat, run, whatever it is, he's there with us. And he's bought in as anyone could be.
What kind of offense can we expect so far from you guys? When I've talked to Coach about that, you know, he'll kind of go into the, we want to be a balanced attack, things like that. But, you know, after these last few days in camp and everything, are you starting to see this offense round into shape here? And what can we expect this upcoming season?
I think explosive is the best word for that one. Mm. We have a team that has some good receivers on the outside. We got some good, strong alignment in the middle. And so we'll be able to attack the ball in a lot of different ways.
Jacob Sermon joining us, the quarterback for the UNC Bears. Jacob, man, we are so excited to see what you guys can do this year, and I can't wait to learn more about you throughout the course of the season. Final question, though. How difficult of a decision was it to cut the hair, to cut the locks, my man?
I had a feeling this question was coming. You know, it wasn't hard. It wasn't hard. I think life is about stages, and I've been blessed to have a lot of different stages in my life. I know my mom likes it. I know my girlfriend likes it. So there's two positives right there.
The only ones that matter, right?
I mean, that's definitely what they would say.
Well, I'm pumped for you, man. Again, just our interactions so far have been so much fun, and I'm really looking forward to the upcoming season. We're on the countdown mode, just a few weeks away from seeing you guys in action.
Absolutely. I can't wait to continue this relationship with you, bring out some supporters and Bear fans that haven't seen what they've wanted in the past, but I think they're going to be excited with what we bring to the future.
Yeah, I am too. And I've got a bunch of new questions throughout the course of the season, because I know this is kind of feels like a recharge season for you, for you guys, and just an opportunity to really put this Bears team on the map. And I'm really excited for that. I can't wait to see what you guys do with it, man.
I appreciate it. Thank you, sir.
Jacob, we'll talk soon, okay? Jacob Sermon, the quarterback for the UNC Bears. You know, he sounds the part, doesn't he? He sounds like a quarterback. And I think that Ed Lamb just, and the guys that we've talked to so far, they just seem to make sense for each other and what they're trying to do over there.
You really do get the sense, and Jacob mentioned it there, about the coach that invests in them and empowers them and all of that they're doing. You know, we've heard Coach Lamb talk about, you know, they've switched defensive linemen to offensive linemen and people switching positions, and that's not easy, but it takes the confidence from a coach to make it feel like, okay, I can make this transition. It's going to be, you know, bumpy a little bit, but we're going to get there eventually, and I think that is permeated throughout this new culture for the Bears, and yeah, we might be in for a fun season.
I hope so. I mean, the preseason rankings weren't friendly to the Bears. Got them finishing 10th out of 12.
When have they ever been friendly?
They never are, but they've typically been right.
Maybe we don't want them as friends.
Maybe we don't want your stupid preseason polls. You know, most think, yeah, they're going to be right there at the bottom. But what was the issue last year? Let's not talk about Ed McCaffrey.
Sure.
What was the issue on the offensive side of the ball?
Inconsistency. I'd say the offensive line was okay for the most part. Dylan didn't really have the greatest pocket presence, and I think that's something that Jacob really excels at.
Just everything looked like a challenge. It's a struggle.
A struggle, yeah, and we know that they were missing a lot of O-linemen throughout the season. They never really could grasp that balance attack with the running game, with, you know, Afari and a couple of those guys. And then, you know, you had weapons like Travis Graham, Cassidy Woods as your receivers that, you know, just didn't do enough consistently to make it feel like they were a threat downfield. The one position I did like from last year is the tight end group. Alex Pell, I believe, is going to be their starter.
Yeah.
Very, very good tight end there. And I think that's going to be a position they rely on this year.
Yeah, just looking back at the schedule that was, you know, the Wyoming game is deceiving. You know, they lost 33-10, but they were in that game. And
up until, like, the start of the fourth quarter, they were in that game.
Yeah, then they won two in a row. They beat Lamar. They beat Idaho State. They were 2-2, and you thought, maybe. But then Idaho puts 55 on you. Sacramento State puts 55 on you. Montana State put 37 on you. UC Davis came out, put 58 on you, 58-10. So it was... it was kind of more or less the same stuff we've been seeing in the past.
And those scores, you know, it indicates, okay, a bad offense and a defense that just gets worn out.
Yeah. Well, and with no David Hogue.
Right.
You want to see what that guy can do with a full season under his belt?
I'm excited for David Hogue, man.
That guy's a stud. He's a good dude. Maybe we'll try to get him on with Jacob at some point, too, because he's a good one. Jordan Apke's a stud.
Oh, yeah. He's going to have a big year.
We're all really hopeful, man. You know, that's the thing. We want to see this Bears team succeed. You're rooting for these guys.
Yeah, and I think they're aware of the expectations, and they know where they're at. They, as Jacob said, they know the talent they have in that room, in the locker room, and the coaches. But, you know, you can't go into this season thinking it's going to be all bad. They're building towards something, and there's going to be struggles early on as we go through this. But everyone's moving in the same direction this time.
Well, you hope, because again, you look at it and go, okay, it's Ed Lamb, and he's going to try to turn this thing around, and finally, since the Bears have been a D1 team, but I mean, I feel a little bit of the pressure for him now, because Jacob Sermon seems like a real, somewhat rare talent for UNC, so you want to be able to capitalize on that.
He was at Washington, he transferred to, I think, Central Michigan.
Yep.
And then over here to UNC, so he's traveled around a bit, Division I, you know, lower FBS, and now FCS. But, you know, he's got the talent. He's got the arm. I've seen this kid throw a ball.
Yeah, it's impressive. He's got a football pedigree. His dad played football, won a football championship, subdivision national championship.
His brother is on a bunch of watch lists at Cal.
Yep, his brother's a stud. His uncle, Peter Sermon, played at Oregon, and he played in the NFL. I mean, so he's got it's a football background. He's got that. It's kind of like Clay Millen. Clay's mm-hmm. got a brother playing football, and his dad played in the NFL, and was a stud for Washington, and that's where Jacob played, was Washington. There's a lot of connections here, a lot of similarities.
Crazy.
In these small quarterbacks, world. Yeah. So we're ready to go, man. I can't wait to see what Ed Lamb's all about. I think highly of that guy just in my short time of getting to know him. And Jacob's stand-up guy. 39 minutes after the hour. Angel, let's jump out real quick. We continue with our Football Friday. Broncos, Cardinals tonight, preseason game one. We'll talk about it next. First, let's get the latest on the local Sports Flash.
Hi, this is Jesse Kurtz, executive producer and lead anchor of the Mountain West Network, and you're listening to The Whole Show on 1310 KFKA.
questions tonight for the Broncos. Sean Payton says he wants to see this starting unit go 15 to 18 snaps from the starters. I think all eyes are, of course, on Russell Wilson. You just want to see if it looks complicated or not. If he just comes out and it's a steady flow and maybe a receiver drops a pass or something and that's what ends drives. What you don't want to see is a clunky performance from Russ. Coming out, you know, you get the play in, you get to the line with about 8 seconds and it's dwindling in 3 seconds and then you snap it and, you know, the line's okay and then Russ goes to make a throw and it gets knocked down at the line of scrimmage, that kind of stuff. You don't want to make – it shouldn't look like everything is a flat-out challenge. Because even with Drew Lock, he had the interception, and not everything was perfect last night for him, but not every play looked like it was difficult for Drew Lock. He had a clean pocket at times, and he made the right reads and made some big plays. So I'm just kind of looking for that tonight, not something that doesn't look so complicated and like everything. Just to get the ball snapped is a struggle.
I imagine we won't see any design quarterback runs, but do you think Russell will use his legs at all tonight?
I almost feel like Sean Payton's going to say, don't run even if it's there. Like, I don't want you – I don't want you messing with any – because if you get hurt, I mean, again, people want to knock Russell Wilson all you want, but Russell Wilson still, I think, still can be a good starting quarterback in this league. So, I mean, Jared Stidham, nobody's getting excited about him. Ben DiNucci, other than having a great last name, DiNucci. That's – you don't want Russ getting hurt. This whole plan in place here is based on whether or not it's going to work out with Russell Wilson. So I just think you want to be careful tonight. And you run your stuff, and then you get out of there. First drive of the game. Touchdown?
Field goal.
Score, though.
It's a long field goal. It's like fourth and three from like the 35. Russ wants to run another play, right hash.
Okay. That changes things.
Russ goes, Sean, come on, let me run a play, coach. And Peyton's like, no, Russ, sit down. Fry, get out there. And Fry's going to kick it a little right.
Oh, and miss it.
Yeah, he's going to miss it a little right.
Okay, then what happens?
Defense will force a six and out.
Okay.
Because I like Colt McCoy a little bit. He'll move the ball at least once.
Just enough to make you think, ah.
Yeah, and then the Broncos get the ball back probably about the start of the second quarter. Maybe one more drive, another shot, maybe shot at the end zone that gets tipped away from Jerry Jeudy, and then you try a field goal and you get it.
And you're up 3-0.
I'm not saying this is not going to be a 24-17 shootout in preseason. It was like 6-0 last night at halftime.
It's going to be 40-10. No, 30-10, excuse me, not 40. 30-10. We're going to have 40 points on the board tonight, but it's going to be Broncos. I just think, Sean, I look at it this way. The Cardinals, nobody expects anything from. The Broncos, Russell Wilson, Sean Payton, you had a lot of guys that are out here trying to prove that last year was, as Tanner likes to call it, a facade or a facade.
Yeah, you got to worry about pressing too much. You're trying so hard to get better that you make mistakes.
There's key positions up for grabs, too, on this depth chart, which is why I think you're going to see a hungry Broncos team coming out here, ready to shake off the rust and shake off the memories from last year and just put this one in our minds. And then that's what we get to chew on for a week, is the preseason game, rather than Russ and Hackett and all the other stuff from last year.
Worst case scenario.
Tonight?
Yes. No injuries, but worst case scenario.
Three and out, next possession, Russ throws a pick.
Oof. Pick six?
Either way, it's bad.
Okay.
Pick six would be terrible. Worst case scenario is it's clunky. Struggle to get the call in. Russ doesn't look comfortable. You go quick three and out, you punt it, stop him on D, and then fans go, wow, more of the same. Good defense. They'll be worn out by the time we get to the end of the first quarter. That's probably your worst case scenario, barring, aside from injuries. 48 after the hour. Broncos, Cardinals tonight. What did we learn on this 11th day of August? We'll get over that. Next, it's the whole show powered by PDC Energy on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hear Preps Talk on Coach Speak with Coach Bruce Dick, the fourth winningest coach in Colorado boys basketball history. Weekdays from 10 to 11 on Northern Colorado's Voice, 103.1 and 1310 KFKA.
Hey, what's going on? This is Justin Adams with CBS 4 down in Denver, Colorado, and you're listening to the whole show on 1310 KFKA.
The next time you get angry over a bad play, remember you need teamwork to win, not arguments.
Now we know.
And knowing is half the battle.
What do you say? We all had a special day. Now turn to a friend and say what you learned today.
What do we learn on this 11th day of August? I learned that the Nuggets will be raising the banner in front of one of their most hated rivals in the Los Angeles Lakers. Angel, it's a movie that just keeps getting a little bit better. However, mentally, I'm not ready for this title defense just yet. I'm not there, so give me a little bit of time. But that's kind of cool to see that story. And they play on Christmas Day.
Ah, it's going to be exciting. Hopefully another Aaron Gordon dunk of the year on Christmas Day against the Warriors.
Good present there.
I learned today that Jacob Sermon is QB1.
QB1.
Capitalized QB. He's the guy for the Bears this year, and, you know, he's taken on that role. I think the team has responded to him. The coaches have obviously empowered him in this position, and I think he's ready to lead this team.
I'm really excited for him. Just a good guy to get behind and root for. Ed Lamb, Jacob Sermon, David Hogue. I mean, you have a handful of just good dudes. Nobody's trying to make it about themselves or a name or anything like that. They're just trying to stick together here and see if they can finally – for the first real year, I mean, they've had 2 years where they won six games. But if that's your two banner years, then that's not a good thing. So they're trying to fix this thing. And Jacob Sermon, maybe they don't have a playoff season. Maybe they don't finish in the top of the Big Sky. But Sermon has a chance to put something together here for this team where it makes it a little more attractive, perhaps, for up-and-coming quarterbacks and football players to want to come here to the University of Northern Colorado, if you can come out and surprise some people. So I look forward to it.
Oh, it's going to be fun. Obviously, we have tons of UNC coverage on the station throughout the fall, but we're getting there. Like, we're almost to football season.
Yeah, we got, what, after this week, we got 2 weeks until we're in game week? 2 weeks until game week?
Let's see. We got next week.
Yeah.
And then that, I want to say that Saturday, there's a Navy-Notre Dame game.
We got next
possibly
week.
That last Saturday.
I think it's the 26th.
Yep.
So we got to get through. Yeah, get through this week or get through next week, and then yeah,
there you go.
That
we
week,
got game week.
It's actually a game week, a real game week,
and then plenty of preseason Broncos as well.
Yeah, preseason tonight, and I am really excited for that. You know, I do. I'm just really looking forward to seeing the Broncos get out there and seeing Sean Payton on the sidelines as the head coach. Now that it's kind of real, it's still pretty cool. It's Sean Payton. As critical as I've been on some things about him, he's still a good coach, and he has a chance to be a great coach. And if you can get things back on track for the Broncos and find a way to get them back into the playoffs, then you can really add to your legacy here. So there's some big tests coming up for both Sean Payton and Russell Wilson. Both guys are considered on the cusp of a Hall of Fame career.
Is there anything that can take the attention away from Russell and Sean Payton?
Like negatively or positively?
Either way.
Defense comes out and just lights it on fire like they did last year, and then Vance Joseph gets a lot of respect. Maybe there's a talk of Vance. You know, aside from like an individual standout performance of some guy just going nuts, we got the return of my Zvi Brewing Player of the Week, too.
Oh.
So I'll be
looking.
Get
those out in preseason?
It's a contract, you know. You got to. What am I going to give it to, a Rocky? Come on, Angel.
Plenty of those to go around.
Yeah, no. Preseason football or a Rockies regular season game? Which one feels more like a game? All right. Okay.
It actually counts.
Does it though? Does it count?
Counts towards the race to 100.
It does. That's true.
30 away.
Daniel Bard should get my Zvi Brewing Player of the Week for getting us one step closer two-loss number 100. Maybe so. We'll do a little vote on it. That'll do it for us. Back at it on a Monday. Good night, Northern Colorado.